whose celestial wisdom makes his early only choice. The paraphrase, number 11, the page 147, and we'll stand to sing, please. Let's stand to sing. Come to our time of prayer and we open our meeting in a word of prayer. It is my duty once again, and sadly this is becoming a regular occurrence over these past number of weeks, to sympathise again with the members of our congregation, and particularly this morning we want to remember our dear brother Philip Blair. As some of you will know, Philip's father passed away very suddenly on Tuesday morning and was buried on Friday afternoon past, and we want to assure Philip and his family, his brother Ian and his sister Nicola and his dear mum at this time of our prayers and our sympathy. And I know the family do appreciate the support of the congregation here at this time. So our sympathies are extended to our dear brother Philip Blair on the very sad death of his father during this week. Let's come together in a word of prayer. And let's remember all those who are in any sort of need, so many in our congregation this morning who are weighed down with the burdens of life and especially with sickness of the body. And we just pray the Lord will come along even this Lord's Day and comfort and encourage. Our eternal God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee, O God, this day that we have a friend in thee. We thank thee, O God, for that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. We thank thee, Lord, that midst all the sorrows and all the storms that rage around us, we thank thee, O God, that we can find that safe and that secure shelter under the wings of Almighty God. And our Father, we come to thee, we come, Lord, as needy as ever. We come, Lord, asking for thy help and for thy strength. Lord, we come this morning especially to remember those who have passed through the valley of mourning once again this week. Lord, we do remember our dear brother Philip. We ask, O God, that you will be with him. Lord, we pray for his family at this time. And you know the sorrow and you know the shock that this week has brought. And O God, we just pray that in the midst of their grief and sorrow, they will all know the grace of God to be their sufficiency at this time. We commit them lovingly and tenderly to thee. We ask, O God, for all who were in attendance at the funeral service on Friday. We pray, O God, that each one will realize that in the midst of life we are in death, and each one will make that preparation. O God, we realize that we are not promised tomorrow. We are not promised the dawn of a new day. Yet, Lord, we realize, O God, there needs to be that preparation that's made in time for the day of our passing. We thank thee, Lord, for everyone in this meeting today who have made that necessary preparation, for each one who by faith have received the Lord Jesus Christ, are resting and trusting in thee and in thee alone for salvation. But, O God, we pray for any in this meeting today still outside of Christ, still away from the fold and the family of God. O God, we pray that you'll draw them. Lord, we pray that the grace of God will reach them this day, and, Lord, that you'll save them. We ask, O God, for that work to be done in every heart and every life. Our Father, we pray that you'll save in this place. We ask, O God, that you'll restore the backslider. Bring us all, Lord, we ask of thee, into that closer walk and that closer fellowship with thee. We come, Lord, to thank thee for thy goodness toward us today. We thank thee, Lord, that we are in the house of God. We thank thee, Lord, that we are the living to praise thee this morning. We thank thee, Lord, for the health and the strength that you've given to us. Thank thee, Lord, for the ability to be in God's house and for the desire that thou hast planted within our hearts to be here. And our Father, we pray that as we come and as we would meet with each other, our prayer is that most of all that we will meet with the God of heaven this day. We ask, O God, that the God of the house will come and make himself real. Presence thyself with us, O God, we pray. We ask, O God, that this day we will have that fresh word from God. That word which will encourage us, that word which will carry us through the week that lies ahead in thy will. O God, we pray that we might come today and worship thee, not out of a mere ritual or of mere formality, but, O God, we pray that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, give us a desire to love thee more, a desire to serve thee more. Lord, in these evil and sinful and wicked days, O God, we pray that you'll set us on fire for God. Give us a holy boldness and a holy desire after the things of God today. So, our Father and our God, we just pray that you'll be with us. Bless every head bowed in thy presence. Lord, we pray that you'll meet each one at the point of need today. Lord, we pray that whatever the need is in our heart, we thank thee, that there is a fullness in Christ to meet every need. And so, our Father, we pray that you'll bless every head. We pray, Lord, for every home represented. We pray, Lord, that you'll put that hedge of protection around all of our homes today. We pray, Lord, that you'll grace our homes and our lives with thy presence and with thy strength. And, O God, we do remember those who cannot be in the house of God. We think, Lord, of so many in our congregation who are afflicted with pain, with sickness. We just pray, Lord, that you'll be with them. Lord, as they are not able to be in God's house and their desire would be to be here, we just pray, Lord, that you'll minister to their needs today, strengthen them. We ask, O God, that this day, this Lord's day, that they'll know the touch of God, and Lord, that they'll know the ministering spirit of God to their lives at this time. And Lord, for those in hospital, those in nursing care, wherever, O God, we just pray that you put thine arms of love around each one. Our Father and our God, we pray that you'll bless thy word to our hearts this morning. We ask, O God, that as we come around the word of God, Lord, that you'll come and speak to us. We, Lord, long to hear thy voice. We need to hear the voice of God. Lord, we need to hear what God the Lord would say to us. And so, Lord, we pray that you'll open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, open our hearts to receive the engrafted word of God. Give us meekness to receive it, as it is the very word of God to our souls. So bless us, we pray. Bless not only here in our own congregation, but, Lord, across our land. We pray, Lord, for that move of the Spirit of God. We pray, Lord, that you'll come. And, Lord, we pray for our province. We pray for our nation. We ask, O God, that you'll pour out thy blessing upon us. Send us, Lord, the floods of revival, we pray. Lord, shower thy blessing upon us, O God, we ask. Turn away all that is against thee. And, Lord, we pray that we will see the hand of our God at work. Bless across in the mission field. We pray, Lord, for those who are serving thee. We pray, Lord, that you'll be with them and encourage them. Lead them all with thyself and give them a great ministry, even this Lord's day, we pray. And our Father, we pray that whatever language, whatever tongue, the gospel goes forth in this land and in other lands. We pray, O God, that it will be the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So hear and answer prayer. Continue on with us now. We ask this in thy name and for thine eternal glory alone. Amen. Amen. Let's take another hymn, please. The hymn number 48. Hymn number 48, on the page 195. Hymn number 48, page 195. I sing the almighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. Hymn number 48, Isaac Watts, great hymn of praise. And let's sing it with all of our hearts unto the Lord. Hymn number 48, the page 195. And to sing. Again, the Old Testament and the book of Nehemiah, please. Nehemiah and the chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6, and we will read from the verse number 10 down to the end of this chapter. Nehemiah chapter 6 and the verse 10. Afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up. And he said, Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, Should such a man as I flee, and who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced his prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. May God think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of God. Moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto me. For there were many in Judah sworn unto him, because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Arah, and his son Johanan, and had taken the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. They reported his good deeds before me, and uttered my words to him. And Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. Amen. We'll end there at verse number 19, the end of that chapter. And we pray the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this morning. We want to thank you for coming this morning to our morning worship service. We welcome you sincerely in the Lord's great name. We're glad to see each and every one who's been enabled to come to God's house this morning. And in the midst of all the sickness that has come amongst us as a congregation, it is good to see you in God's house this morning. I want to thank you for coming. For those who are visiting, we're glad to see you, and we trust that you feel at home and you feel welcome here in our congregation. I see our sister Rochelle back out with us again. Good to see you, Rochelle. Rochelle, after your time and of sickness, we pray the Lord's blessing upon you. So do remember, as we've said, all those who are in any sort of need today, continue to pray that the Lord will bless them. Our announcements today, for today and the rest of this week, in the will of the Lord, afternoon Sunday school over in Hollywood at 2:30. And then in the Domhnall Care Home, the meeting there at 3 p.m. this afternoon. So those who attend to that, please come along 3 o'clock this afternoon in the Domhnall Care Home. The prayer meeting at 6:30 this evening will be followed by our gospel service. And in the gospel tonight, we're going to be looking at the subject of Black Friday. Now, it may have, probably hasn't escaped your notice this past week, was what was called Black Friday. Well, we're going to be looking at that tonight, and we want you to come. I want you to hear what the Word of God has to say about Black Friday. So come along tonight to the gospel at 7 p.m. Bring others with you. I'd love to see you back in God's house for the gospel service planned to be here. And the girls from Heavenbound, Louise and Joanne, will be here as well to sing. And then after the gospel service this evening, we'll meet around the Lord's table in his own appointed way. Tomorrow night, Monday, our Bible study continues at 8 p.m. The early morning prayer meetings, Tuesday and Thursday at 6 a.m. And then also on Tuesday night, our children's meetings continue here at 7 p.m. Then we have our main midweek prayer meeting on Thursday evening at 8 o'clock. And this Thursday night, we're going to set the entire time aside to pray for the sick of our congregation. There are many in our congregation who need our prayers, and we're going to pray for the sick, especially at this time. So we encourage as many of God's people to come out and to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Thursday night, 8 o'clock, that special season of prayer where we will pray especially for the sick of our congregation. Then on Friday night, our youth fellowship will meet, and again, we'll be practicing for the Christmas carol service, which is coming up. So again, young people, please plan to be with us on Friday night at 8. Also on Friday night will be the meeting of presbytery for our elders, and that will be held in Clockmills. Next Lord's Day, the first Lord's Day of December, 7:30 in the morning, the early morning season of prayer, 10:15, the Sabbath school, the Bible classes, and 11:30 and 7 are the two main services, both preceded by the half hour of prayer. And you're welcome along to all of these meetings. You're more than welcome to join with us. A few other announcements I want you to remember. I want you to remember the Reverend Gary Goods. This week, Thursday night, he will be installed as the new minister in our Randallstown congregation. So please do remember Reverend Goods and his wife and family as they go to take up the work of God there in Randallstown. That service will be in the church in Randallstown on Thursday night at 8. Also, the forms are available today for those who have their names down for the trip to Spain. With weather like this, it'll be good to be going to Spain anytime soon. But if you're planning to go on the trip to Spain, you should have received your letters. Please, if not, then see us and we'll see to that. On Saturday the 10th of December, that's a few weeks away yet, Saturday the 10th of December, we're going to meet here in the church at 10 a.m. and that is to distribute the rest of the church calendars that we have received. We've got 2,000 in total and there are still calendars available today and over next Sunday as well. And we want you to take as many as you wish to use out, to give out to your friends, and your family, perhaps your neighbours in your local area. Take a handful, take as many as you want today and next week as well. And then any that are left after that, we will get them out into the local community. So if you can remember that, Saturday the 10th of December, 10 o'clock here in the church, we may not need to meet if they're all gone by that stage, but we will see. But do keep it in mind and we'll keep you informed as we get closer to that. So you're welcome to take those calendars with you. They're all free. Keep one for yourself or as many as you want for yourself and then use them as a means of outreach. Also, there's the missionary bulletin from the Missionary Council of the Church. That's available today. There are some copies there. And also there's a prayer letter there from our brother Robert McConnell. Please do take those with you and be updated with the missionary work of the church. We're making an appeal here to our ladies on Christmas night, 25th of December, of course. We're going to get together and have the ladies to sing, or whatever ladies want to sing on that occasion. So if you'd like to be in that ladies' group, there will be no auditions, don't worry. You are free and you're welcome to be part of that group that will sing on Christmas night. We're giving you the best night of the whole year, Christmas night, and that's the slot that you have. So ladies, if you'd like to be a part of that group and say you're all welcome, all ages, you're don't feel restricted, you're more than welcome to take part on that night. You see your sister Gillian. Gillian's going to look after you. I was going to say get you into tune, but you don't need to get into tune. Gillian has a big enough job trying to keep me in tune, but she will look after that. So if you can help and you would like to be a part of that group that will sing on Christmas night, the 25th of December, here in the church, then see Gillian and arrangements can be made for a few practices. So you're all welcome, ladies, you're all welcome to take part in that group. I think these are all the announcements for now. Let's turn in our hymn books, this time to the hymn number 545. Hymn number 545, pages 396. We'll keep our seats for the opening verses, please, as the offering will be received. Marching on in the light of God, marching on, I'm marching on up the path that the Master trod, marching, marching. On 545, we'll keep our seats for the opening verses and your offering for the Lord's work will be received.
Marching on in my love, Lord, marching on.
to sing verses 4 and 5. Verses 4 and 5. Let's stand to sing, please. Good singing, folks. Well done. Nehemiah chapter 6, please. Nehemiah chapter 6. We come to conclude our studies in this sixth chapter today. We've entitled the message for this morning, Mission Accomplished. That is what it's taking place here in these last few verses of Nehemiah chapter 6. The opening words of verse 15, let's keep them before us this morning as we come around the Word of God. Verse 15, it says, so the wall was finished. The wall was finished. As we come to the preaching the Word of God this morning, can we just take a moment to still our hearts before the Lord in prayer and pray that the Lord would speak to us and the Lord would come and challenge us today out of His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for each one who's marching on to glory. We thank Thee, O God, for the song of the soul set free this day. We thank Thee, O God, that this day we're on the victory side. Praise Thee, Lord, that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We praise Thee, O God, that the work of God is that work. It's not of man. It is Thy work. So, Lord, we just pray that You'll help us to rejoice in the little part that You've given to each and every one of us to be a part of the work of God. Lord, as we come to Thy Word for this morning, we come, Lord, asking for Thy help once again. Lord, we're coming to Thy Word. We're coming not to the imaginations or the follies of men. We're coming, Lord, to the very Word of the living God. So, Lord, we pray that You'll come and speak to us and instruct us and challenge us, confront us all today out of the precious Word of God. So bless us, we ask. Continue on with us now. For we ask this in Thy name and for Thine honor and glory alone. Amen. Amen. So for months now, Nehemiah had to endure the attacks from within and from without. For months now, Nehemiah had to face down the opposition, not just once, but on many different occasions. And for months now, Nehemiah had to put up with the vile and the vicious rumors and lies that the enemy was spreading about him. And for months now, he had to open his post and read many crafty and cruel letters. Letters that sought to discourage him and letters that sought to distract him. For months, Nehemiah had to deal with strife from within his own work and within his own people. For months now, Nehemiah had to be on his guard to the sly and the subtle approaches of the enemy in their invitations and their plans to take him away from the work that he was called to do. For months now, the enemy had sought by every means possible to halt and to stop the work of God. They had tried to frighten Nehemiah into submission. They had tried to weaken him by their constant and their continual approaches that they made toward him. Yet such was the fortitude and such was the resilience of this man of God that never once did he give in. Never once did he give up in the work of God. Never once did he come to that point of thinking it's not worth it, just give up and go back. You see, Nehemiah was convinced that he was in the center of the will of God for his life. While being in the center of the will of God was a very pleasant and a very peaceful place for him, yet it did not mean that he would be shielded from the attacks that he had to face. You see, Nehemiah was in the will of God, yet he still had to face the attacks of the evil one. But Nehemiah faced those attacks, and faced down every attack, because Nehemiah had a burden, and because Nehemiah had a vision. You see, the building project of the walls was his burning desire. It was his burden. It was his vision and his motivation in it all. Constantly, as we have noticed right up until this point here in Nehemiah chapter 6, his desire in it all was the glory of God. Though all hell raged against him, and though every device that the devil could employ was used against him, yet Nehemiah was not for giving up, not for giving in. This project was not his own idea. This rebuilding of the walls again was the plan and the purpose of God for Nehemiah and the people of God at that time. And so with steely determination, despite being sidetracked for a time to deal with those attacks that came, Nehemiah just got on with the work. And what words of encouragement verse 15 must have been to the people then. And yet what words of encouragement, the words of verse 15, are to us today. So the wall was finished. This was mission accomplished for Nehemiah and the people of God. The city of Jerusalem, which had lain waste and lain in despair for almost now 150 years. The people were of reproach. The walls were in ruin, there was rubble and rubbish everywhere. Yet one man with a vision and one man with a burden, and by the help of Almighty God, saw the walls being repaired and rebuilt. He inspired others to get involved in that work as well and to stay at that work. And so the mission was accomplished, or at least that stage of his mission was accomplished. As we'll go on to see, the work on the walls was finished, but the work was not finished. The work still went on. As we come to these last chapters, these last verses of chapter 6 this morning, I want us to notice some things about this mission accomplished and about this project that has come to a conclusion here in verse 15. I want you to see, first of all, with me here, the duration of the project. Because in verse 15, we read at the end of the verse that it was completed in 52 days. 52 days it took to complete this work. The whole project took a total of 52 days. Despite the rubbish, despite the rubble, despite all the ruins, and despite all the encouragements, in 52 days the work was completed. And as we'll see, it was completed to the power and the testimony and the glory of God. But I want you to notice something there in verse 15. Notice what is not in verse 15. And this is very significant, I believe. It says, so the wall was finished the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. Did you notice here that there is no sense of personal pride for Nehemiah? Nehemiah doesn't sit back and clap himself on the back and say, what a great job we have done. He just simply states the fact, the wall is finished. Just a simple and a profound statement. What an amazing event that must have been. What an exciting achievement that must have been. 52 days to rebuild the walls. And if we trace back from verse 15, it describes there the month Elul to the very commencement of this book, way, way back all those many months ago in chapter 1 when we were thinking, in the opening parts of this book, we are in the month Kislew there in Nehemiah chapter 1. And from then to now, there's a total of 9 months. From when Nehemiah first heard about the need to now, the need being met and the wall being finished here in verse 15, there's a period of 9 months. What a period of time that was for Nehemiah. How Nehemiah's life changed dramatically over those months. Those months were action-packed, all right. There was never a dull moment. There was always plenty to do, plenty that had to be dealt with. Yet, Nehemiah saw the project through to the end. And he saw the work completed. Now, when we think of the duration of the work, we see not only the great determination of Nehemiah, but I believe as well we see the great determination of the people of God who worked with him. You see, Nehemiah couldn't do this by himself. He needed the work of the help of the people of God, and together they were laborers together. They got the work done. This band of people, they were terrible as that army with banners. Here was a people who put their heart and soul into the work to get the work done. They were focused on that work. That was their desire, to see this work built up, to see this wall finished. They weren't running here and there to all other works. They were single-minded and they were focused in one work. They were steadfast. They didn't come and go as it suited. They didn't stay there for a little time and then move on somewhere else. They were faithful and they were steadfast in that one work. They stuck at the work. What a challenge that is to us all today. To remain faithful and to remain steadfast and to remain focused in the work that God has called us all to do here in our own congregation in Sandown. To stick at the work of God here and to see the work through. Because folks, that's when the work advances. When there is unity and when there is focused determination on the work to see the work through. God commands as such. The example of the people here, as we have noticed throughout these past number of months, should be a great encouragement and exciting as well to us. God commands us as his people not to be slothful or indifferent about the work of God, but rather to be busy and to be active and to be industrious. And folks, as we work together, and as we see the cause of Christ advanced together in this work that God has called us to, we do so in the assurance that God works with us. These folks, these people in Nehemiah's day, they were working. They were putting their heart and their soul into the work of God. And as they worked, the Lord worked with them. We'll see that in a moment. And folks, as we work, we do not work alone. As we take the cause of Christ forward, as we seek to labor for him, God works with us. You remember those disciples And the Lord commissioned them and commanded them to go and to preach the gospel and to take the work of God forward. And he was leaving them. He was going back to heaven. And it says there that as they went and as they worked, the Lord worked with them. Dear child of God, as we seek to work for God, in whatever sphere and whatever part of the work we are called to, as we're called to work, God works with us. These people worked hard. Even in the most adverse of circumstances. You remember how that they were spoken ill of. They were made little of. Their character was demeaned. Their work was belittled. Who are you anyway? You're only feeble Jews, and the work that you do, well, it'll not last. Well, as we'll see, the enemies were silenced. But Nehemiah kept reminding them of the great reality that God was working with them, and God was strengthening them, and God was defending them. You remember that call that he said, "Our God shall fight for us, the God of heaven, he will prosper us." It was that revelation, it was that realization, it was that understanding of the greatness of God that enabled them, kept them at the work. It was that that instilled great confidence and great courage in the people. And folks, today we need to still have that view of God, that as we work, God works with us, our God shall fight for us. Our God shall prosper us. At the end of the day, it's not about us. It's about him. Because it's his work and it's his glory that we're working to. And so the God of all creation was fighting and working for these people and defeating and deflecting every attack of hell. That's why the work was completed in these 52 days. Because they worked with confidence and they worked with courage. And I believe it was that great truth more than anything else that was the bedrock of their determination. It was the great truth that God was on their side. It was the great truth that God would prosper, that God would deliver, that God would defeat the enemies, and that God would fight. And that all instilled great courage in their hearts. You see, they believed in his sovereignty. It was his work. But they also believed in his sufficiency because God worked with them. He put strength in them. And time again, right from the very opening part of this book, right until this chapter 6 here, God enabled them to overcome every obstacle. You think of those letters way back in chapter 2 from the king that enabled Nehemiah free access to the city. You think of how all the material needs were met and how that, as we've been looking at over this past number of months, all the enemies were turned back. You see, God provided for them. God met the need. Nehemiah stepped out in faith and God rewarded that faith. Here is the vindication of that call that Nehemiah heard away back in chapter 1. Here's the vindication of the burden that he had. So the wall was finished. Yes, Nehemiah was a very good leader. We've seen that. And he was able to strategically put the right people in the right places along the different parts of the wall. But ultimately, Nehemiah, step by step, day by day, brick by brick, was relying, trusting, depending on the Lord. He just got on with the work, knowing with assurance and knowing with confidence that God would provide, God would meet the need, and that ultimately the wall would be completed. As a church and as a congregation, we face a great challenge today. To continue on in the work of God in this community and to reach out to this community with the gospel of saving grace. And like Paul, we are able to say that a great door and an effectual is opened unto us. But there are many adversaries. And as we have pointed out in the past, you seek to do anything for God, you will realize just how real the devil is. But with the same determination and with the same resilience, let's press forward today in the work of God. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't fall out or don't faint along the way, but rather stick at the work. Stay at the work and see the work through. And together, let's see this work go forward. This duration, 52 days, the determination of Nehemiah, but also the determination of the people. There's not only the duration of this project that I want you to see, but as we come into verse 16, I want us to notice now the dejection because of the project. The dejection because of the project. Notice verse 16. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Nehemiah and his people were rejoicing. The work was completed in 52 days. The work was going forward, but not everybody was happy. And you know, folks, whenever the work of God goes forward and whenever the work of God prospers, it doesn't please everyone. There'll always be those who are out of sorts and dejected because of the advancement of the work of God. And the devil will see to that. And there were those, as we read of in there in verse 16, who were dejected. They were cast down because they saw the walls being completed. Who were they? Well, they're identified for us in verse 16 as the heathen and the enemies. They were the opponents of the work of God. They were the very people that had made all these attacks on Nehemiah and the people. And they were also the people then that made those friendly approaches. Here we see them really in their true character. They were cast down in their own eyes. They were the proud, the lying, the deceitful, sinful workers of iniquity whose sole aim and purpose was to stop the work of God and to prevent the work going forward. They were dejected. They were downcast. Every hell-inspired plan against Nehemiah and against the work of God, all of them were cast down. And I think as we think of that, we'll notice that a little more. But let me point something out to you here. We come back again to why this work was completed in such a short space of time. Yes, we look to the Lord to turn back our enemies, and rightly so. We look to the Lord to confuse and to confound our enemies. But remember again the part that the people played in this work. The work was finished. The enemies were downcast because the people kept at the work and they saw the work through. Their faithfulness and their fearlessness in the midst of it all ensured that the wall was finished. You see, if they had been put off, then the work wouldn't have been completed here. If they just started to work for a little time and then, because of the heat of the battle, turned back, the wall wouldn't have been finished and the enemies wouldn't have been downcast. The people of God who stick at the work, who stay at the work, and who are faithful in the work through thick and thin have a big part to play in the despondency of our enemies. Are you causing the enemy to be despondent because of your stickability at the work of God, remaining faithful, and you won't desert your place of duty? Are you causing the enemy today to be rejoicing because of your lack of faithfulness to this work? Perhaps you've left your place of duty. You've left your place, that first love. And you've gone back, you've gone away from the work. And so today the devil is rejoicing because his aim and his desire for your life has been achieved. You see how quickly and how easily we all can do the devil's work. These enemies, they were downcast because the work was finished. because the people stuck at the work with that determined desire to see the work through. Look again at verse 16. These enemies, these heathens, there was despondency there. But as you come down to the end of verse number 16, there was also honesty. They were despondent. They saw the work and the wall finished. They saw that their plans had not been successful. But there was honesty there at the end of verse 16. For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. They had to acknowledge and they had to admit that God wrought this work. They had to stand back and be honest and say, this is of God. You see, Nehemiah and the people of themselves couldn't do it alone. It was the power of God that enabled this work to be completed. Nehemiah and the people were vindicated in the work of God because they worked. Not that they had been slapped on the back and lauded and applauded, but rather that by their working and by their determination, that glory would be brought to God. We have said it again, and here it is now revealed for us in the pages of Scripture. Why did Nehemiah start on this project? Why did Nehemiah leave the comfort, the peace, and the pleasant surroundings of the palace in Shushan? Why did he make that journey to come to the city of Jerusalem? Why did he slog and labor and work in the face of all the opposition, in the face of all the hostility? Why? That Nehemiah might have himself a name? That everybody might say, what a great man you are, Nehemiah? That all the people might be able to clap themselves in the back and say, what a great work we have done? No. It was all to the glory of God. His sole motivation in it all was God's glory. Here's the vindication of it all, because the very enemies of the work now had to acknowledge this work was wrought of our God. God was being glorified. The heathen were acknowledging the hand of God. Oh, that the heathen today would acknowledge the hand of God in the work that we would do. We read over in Exodus chapter 8, a chapter that's been dealing with the plagues that had come upon the people of that day, Moses' day. And it's dealing with the magicians there, those evil, sinful people. People who were much like the heathen of Nehemiah's day. And during the plagues there, we read of, in Exodus chapter 8 and verse 19, and in the plagues of frogs and lice, and the terrible devastation that came. Do you know what the heathen said in that day? Do you know what the ungodly said on that day? They said, this is the finger of God. This is the workings of God. This is of God. And you see, folks, today, that's what we want to see. We want to see the enemies acknowledging and admitting the hand of God being at work. We too often see and acknowledge the hand of the devil at work in our day. We want to see the hand of God at work. And we want to see the enemies and the heathen acknowledging that. Well, today we can so often become downcast because of the heathen rising up against God and mocking God and rebelling against God and never actually acknowledging God. We want to see the heathen, the enemies, acknowledge the goodness of God. We want to see the enemies of the work of God dejected today because of the work going forward. But you know, dear believer, while we may not see it in this day, there will come a day. There will come a day when every enemy of the work of God will acknowledge the hand of God. There will come a day when every knee will bow before God and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every imp and every power of hell, every evil worker, every self-righteous sinner, everyone will bow the knee to God someday and acknowledge our God. Let me ask you today, before we go any further, have you ever bowed the knee to God? Have you ever acknowledged the hand of God and the goodness of God? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever confessed Christ as your Savior? Have you ever received Him into your life to wash away your sins and to make you right and holy before God? Because you see, folks, on that final day, on that great day, confession of the Lord, it'll either result in the soul's salvation for those who have received Christ in life, or it will result in the soul's damnation for those who have rejected Christ. Every one of us in this meeting today, saint and sinner alike, every one of us will one day bow before God. It's best that you bow before Him now in time, acknowledge Him as Lord and Savior, and confess your sins and cry unto Him for salvation. Because there'll come that day when you will bow along with all the other enemies of the gospel. But then it'll be too late. There is the duration of this project. There is the dejection because of this project. But notice as well here the disloyalty in the project. We must issue a word of warning here. Because in the midst of all of what was going on, the wall being finished, and the work at this stage was completed, yet Satan was not finished. Opposition still came. Opposition so far had been successful and not successful in stopping the project, but the opposition still came. Will never go away. And especially in times of great jubilation, in times when we see the hand of the Lord at work, that's the very time we need to be on our guard all the more, because that's the very time that Satan will come again. But God is blessing. This opposition didn't go away. Because as we read in verse 17 and 18, there was disloyalty. Those who were disloyal to the work of God and those who were disloyal to Nehemiah, we read about them in verse 17. They were the nobles. The nobles of Judah. We've come across these nobles in the past. We saw them in chapter number 3 as being lazy. We saw them in chapter 5 as being greedy. And now we see them in chapter 6 as being disloyal. The devil makes work for idle hands. The devil uses the self-centered in his work to cause disunity and to create disloyalty, even when the work is advancing and the work is going forward. He uses those who don't want to get involved in the work to be disloyal in the work. Those who don't want to roll up their sleeves, and he'll use such people to do his own work. These nobles were disloyal to Nehemiah because notice what it says there in verse 18. There were many in Judah sworn unto him. That is, sworn unto Tobiah. Sworn unto the very enemy of the work of God. Those who should have been working with Nehemiah. Those who should have been going alongside Nehemiah. They were making their allegiance known, and it was to the enemy. Well, they had never sworn allegiance to Nehemiah. Maybe if Nehemiah had asked them to swear allegiance to the work and cause of God, they would have said, well, you're being a little bit too demanding. They would have rebuked him. But there was no hesitation in swearing allegiance to the enemy. And that's a sad, sad story. They were happy to commit to everything outside of the work of God, but they wouldn't commit to the work of God itself. They would swear their undying loyalty to every other outfit and every other organization, but they wouldn't commit to the work of God. Notice how this disloyalty manifested itself in verse 19. They told Nehemiah what a great man Tobiah was. Can you believe it? These nobles, these layabouts, coming to Nehemiah and saying, well, Tobiah is actually a nice man. He's a friendly man. He's a lovely man. And all the time he was in the pocket of Satan, seeking to destroy the work of God, they reported his good deeds to me, as if Nehemiah didn't know about Tobiah and didn't know exactly what he was about. Tobiah's actually not all that bad after all. His bark is worse than his bite. They came. They slapped Nehemiah in the face, but more than that, they stabbed him in the back. Rather than standing with Nehemiah, rather than standing with the people of God, they were using their slippery, greasy, slimy words of praise about Nehemiah and were disloyal to the work of God. Their betrayal goes even further because we see in verse 19, they also told matters pertaining to Nehemiah and uttered my words to him. Or in the margin, you see there, it also can render matters. I would say that these people weren't praising Nehemiah, but rather they were talking about Nehemiah behind his back. Rather than being loyal to him, they were being disloyal, and they would represent Nehemiah. Well, Nehemiah, is actually, it's all about him. Did you know that? Nehemiah came to the city here. He left the palace, and he came to the city, and, well, he actually wants to be a king. He wants to take over. And they would misrepresent Nehemiah, and they would make little of him. Such people are very, very dangerous, and such people do the work of God. What a sad testimony of those who should have been supporting, for those who should have been rejoicing that the enemy had been defeated. They were actually in cahoots with the enemy and supporting the enemy rather than supporting the work. Folks, today, the work of God demands our total allegiance. You say, well, that's easy for you. You're the minister. You're expected to do that. Whether minister or whatever, we are all called to be faithful and loyal to the work of God and not to be doing the work of the enemy. The Lord has given us a verse, I believe, as a motto text for next year. We'll speak about that when the time comes. And we need to rise up together, unity. We need to be loyal to each other, and most of all, loyal to the Lord as we seek to take the work of God forward. And rather than by our idleness not do the devil's work, but by our industry seek to do the work of God. More than ever in this day and generation, we need to be up and doing God's work, because there's too many doing the devil's work. Let me close this morning. You see the duration, the dejection, the disloyalty. But finally, notice the development of this project. Because we take a moment just to reflect on how we've got here, how we've got to verse 19 of Nehemiah chapter 6. Way back in chapter 1, we read of a man by the name of Nehemiah who was broken. We read of a man who wept over the city of Jerusalem. We read of him in chapter number 2 of being burdened. He was a man who had a vision and a burden for the task ahead. We also read of him of being a man who built. We see that right from chapter 2 right to this chapter here. Now, we see him building, but he also had to battle. That imagery there of the sword and the trial that we looked at. He was broken. He was burdened. He built. But as we come into chapter 6 here, in the final verses of this chapter, we see now a man who was blessed because the work was finished. In fact, we could say that right from the very outset of this work, Nehemiah was blessed. But in a particular way, here at the end of chapter 6, we read of the walls being finished. His faith and his determination and his dedication was rewarded. And throughout this whole project to date, the character of Nehemiah shines through. From the outset, he was a man of prayer. You think of those prayers that he uttered, focused his life. He was a man of principle. He stood up for the Lord. He was a man of perception. He discerned the sly approaches of the enemy. He was a man of persistency. He, despite all that hell threw at him, he didn't give up. And he wouldn't give up. He was a man of power. He had great courage and bravery in the midst of all the difficulties. But he acknowledged in it all that this was of God. The building project was completed. But Nehemiah's work was not done. In fact, in many ways, his greatest work was still ahead of him. And I believe that the greatest blessings were still in store. This was just the end of this phase of the work. It was the beginning of greater things. We've said it before, but when we get into chapter 8, if chapter 8 doesn't warm your heart, then you need to search your heart. Nehemiah had a burden, he had a vision, he had a desire to see the work go forward. And he stepped out in faith and God rewarded him. As he and the people worked together, they saw a great work done. The walls repaired, the heathen enraged, and the Lord glorified. More than ever today, we need people with burden. We need people with vision. We need people with stickability, people who are not concerned and content to sit back and just plod on through. People who have an eye to the future. People who will see the work of God and the cause of Jesus Christ go forward. We need a vision, just as Nehemiah had. We need a burden, just as Nehemiah had. We need a determination that despite the obstacles and despite all that will come our way, that we press on through. We need, like Nehemiah, to step out of our comfort zones and step out believing God and take God at his word and see God turn the tide and see God turn the blessing. Because today, folks, let me tell you, the God that Nehemiah served is still our God today. God is still all-powerful. God is still able to turn back every plan of hell. Don't look to the problems. Rather, look to the potential. Look to the potentate Lord God Almighty who reigneth on high. And the one who has said, and we made mention of this on Thursday night past, the one who is able to give us much more than this. This project at this stage came to a conclusion. But the greater blessings were still ahead. God is wishing, God is desiring to bless us as a church and as a congregation. May we not miss out on those blessings. But rather with determination, keep at the work, stay at the work, and see the work of God go forward. And we need God to move. And we need to see God at work. That's why in prayer. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank thee again for the instruction that we have from this man, Nehemiah. And O God, we pray that you'll make us Nehemiahs of this day and generation. O God, we pray that you'll give us all that desire to see the work go through and that determination to stick at the work. Heavenly Father, that we might see the walls of our day and generation built up, repaired, and rebuilt. Lord, there is much ruin and there is much rubbish even in this city. There is that much that goes under the guise of Christianity and yet it's got nothing to do with the Word of God. There is much sin, there is much evil, there is much wickedness. But help us, God, not to look to the problems. But Lord, help us always to look to the potential that our God reigneth. Help us to remember that God is still all-powerful, and that the God who turned the tide in Nehemiah's day can turn the tide in our day too. Oh God, give us faith. Help us to step out believing and to take God at his word. Oh, bless thy word to all of our hearts today. Write it upon the tables of our hearts, oh God, we ask. We ask this for the glory and for the honor alone of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's turn to the hymn number 641. As we close our service this morning, 641. Revive thy work, O Lord, thy mighty arm make bare. We're going to sing verse 1 and verse